Hi, this is Pat Gohn, author of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood. Welcome to 10 Bodacious Basics, 10 minutes at a time. This is a short podcast-style tour through the book with excerpts read by yours truly. Listen each day for a new insight or reflection about the blessed dignity, the beautiful gifts, or the bodacious mission of women. Each day on the blog tour, a new question will be posted at the host blog about the day's themes, and comments at the blog become your entry for a chance to win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. I hope you'll join me in this conversation as the book travels around the blogosphere weekdays through April 26th. Today's audio tour stop is brought to you by The Practicing Catholic, created by Lisa and Joel Schmidt. This is part 3 of 10 Bodacious Basics, and our topic today is to be a beloved daughter of God. And our reading comes from chapter 3. To be a beloved daughter is a blessing. It indicates being chosen, being highly regarded, and being much loved. A beloved daughter can identify herself because she trusts the love of her parents for her. A beloved daughter of God understands and trusts her sacred identity and calling in light of her baptism. If that describes you, you already possess a deep blessing. If you are a woman who feels like she's failed to get the message regarding this blessing, you are not alone. Many of us carry emotional wounds that better describe our brokenness as daughters rather than our belovedness. So let's talk about that deep place in every woman's heart that longs for the dignity of being beloved. Let's move toward seeking that blessing. Claiming our identity as beloved daughters in God's eyes can be difficult and hampered, or it can be nurtured and embraced due to the circumstances in our families of origin. Our families, for better or worse, are the places where our impressions are born regarding the relationships of father, mother, sister, and brother. All these relationships impact in due time our relationship with the family of God. Of course, I'm referring both to God in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, and in our connection to the family of God, the Church. It's important that we pause here to talk about the place that the fatherhood of God has in our lives. Every daughter has an earthly father. Fatherhood matters to us. A father's presence in our lives has impact, for good or for ill. One of the benefits of midlife for me is having enough life experience to know that God can bring good out of a bad situation eventually. And though it's hard to admit, we can learn and grow through heartaches. I didn't have that mature perspective in my early years. I look back to my teen years and find a lot of anger and disappointment in the families around me. When I consider my peer group from those years, I remember a world of hurt where fathers and daughters were concerned. Some of my friends dealt with alcoholic fathers, controlling and angry fathers, and fathers who left families through abandonment and divorce. There's no shortage of men who give fatherhood a bad name. I'm not here to criticize parents. They have important roles in light of eternity. And God knows my parents weren't perfect, and I'm no perfect parent either. Just ask my kids. They've got stories of how I've blown it with them, and how my own quick temper and strong tongue has, ashamedly, done damage. Poor relationships with an earthly parent can weaken or sever our bond with a heavenly parent. The Catechism of the Catholic Church backs me up on this. In fact, the Church takes a consoling view toward those who have suffered emotional wounds from parents. When we experience hurt with our earthly parents, it can mar our relationship with God. That shows you the magnitude of a parent's influence. In particular, the Church acknowledges that parental love, or its absence, has a deep and profound effect on the way children will respond to God as a father. Why would the Church care about that? First, because the Trinity is made up of family ties, Father, Son, and Spirit. And second, you cannot be a practicing Catholic for any length of time and not encounter the truth of the matter. Our biblical and liturgical expressions, for instance, the Creed, the Our Father, and elsewhere in Mass, all of them look to God as a Father. The Church intends for us to relate to God in exactly that way, because Jesus did. The Catechism of the Catholic Church offers hope to those who experience brokenness in their father-daughter relationship. I'm quoting the Catechism now from paragraph 239. Parents are, in a way, the first representatives of God for man. But this experience also tells us that human parents are fallible and can disfigure the face of fatherhood and motherhood. Recall that God transcends the human distinction between the sexes. He is neither man nor woman. He is God. He also transcends human fatherhood and motherhood, although he is their origin and standard. No one is father as God is father. End quote. The fatherhood of God is bigger than our perceptions distorted by hurt and pain. God's love transcends those hurts, for we are children of God. Our dignity as women is that we are daughters of God, but we may not always know it. I've lived long enough to know that brokenness brought into the light of love can become an opportunity for blessing and growth, to learn or relearn our belovedness. Jesus knows some of us harbor reticence when it comes to fatherhood. Still, Jesus teaches the necessity of our knowing the Father. He reveals the Father by what he said and did, and he never stops using examples in parables about fathers or praying to the Father himself. The Gospels record Jesus saying the word Father over 130 times. So coming to know the Father in heaven is not optional for a Christian. Jesus repairs the rift opened in the days of Adam and Eve when the first human relationships with the Father were fractured. Most important, Jesus instructed us to call God our Father in the Lord's Prayer, which is one of the most basic prayers in Christianity. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught us how to enter into his prayer, using his words when he taught us to pray to our Father. Jesus shares the love of his Father so that we too might enter into conversations and prayers, a loving relationship with the Father, like he did. The Catechism teaches that ultimately the Lord's Prayer reveals us to ourselves at the same time that it reveals the Father to us. The Gospels are filled with Jesus' prayers to the Father, a Father that yearns to love us, not disappoint or hurt us, a loving Father who understands the baggage we may be carrying. Let's make Jesus' words our own. Learning the words of the Son's heart can help heal our daughter hearts. The image of the Good Shepherd soothes my daughter heart. Jesus describes the tender, committed care that he offers his sheep, a care in union with his Father. My sheep hear my voice, he says, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I love that phrase from Jesus. No one is Father as God is Father, the Catechism says. If someone has treated you badly, such that you cannot understand the gift of a Father's love, remember that no one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. His love for you has never wavered, even if you have been unable to know it, see it, or understand it. Jesus' word guarantees it. We can make this prayer our own too. No one can snatch me out of the Father's hands. To trust Jesus is to trust the Father. This is Pat Gohn. Thanks for joining me on this stop on the blog tour. Tomorrow we visit the Snoring Scholar. For now, look for details on how you might win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious right here at The Practicing Catholic.